Now, up to this point, let's discuss the friendly dealings amongst devotees, or what not to do and what to do in devotional life that will guarantee success, and details about prosecuting our devotional life in such a way that we will become successful. And that success, of course, is developing a love of Krishna. And gradually, as the verses go on, we are getting closer and closer to the verses that actually describe love of Krishna. In text 7, we sort of break from the previous flow of verses to other advice, or upadesh. Upadesh means instructions. Now this verse and the next verse deal with the holy names, because this is the Hare Krishna movement, and Rupa Goswami is the founder, or the who established the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within this material world, and this ISKCON movement is a branch of the Gaudiya Vaishnava movement, and it is a movement of Rupanuga, or followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. So here Rupa Goswami is going to glorify the essence of the Hare Krishna movement, which is the holy name, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, with Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasya Naruchikanu Kintvara Dana Nudinam Karusaya Vajushta Svadvikrama Bhavati Tadgara Mula Hantri. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So, Srila Rupa Goswami is not only speaking about the holy name, but he's also speaking about the holy name, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. They are Krishna. That is why they are transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy, because they are actually that transcendentally sweet person. They are Krishna. Although one may not realize them to be Krishna, they are Krishna. And they are full of all potencies. Nam nam, nam nam, nam nam, that these names, they are full of sarva shaktis, they are full of all potencies, as Krishna has so many transcendental potencies. His name is no different from him as one of his potencies, because he is absolute. And his pastimes, as explained in the Bhagavatam, coming from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, are also non different from Krishna. We read that in the Bhagavatam, how this Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna in the age of Puranarko Dunoditaha, that it has arisen like the sun in the age of Kali. And it is the sound incarnation of Krishna in the age of Kali. And thereby one who gets a taste for the Bhagavatam actually associates with Krishna. So, consciously. So, here an example is given that's very wonderful. That just as when one has jaundice, a sweet thing does not have a very pleasant taste. Is not pleasant to the tongue. The more severe one's case of jaundice is, the more unpleasant sweet things taste. And wonderfully, the cure for the disease of jaundice is that very thing that doesn't taste so palatable. The sweet sugar candy, the misri, is the cure for jaundice. So, as one takes this sugar candy, although it doesn't taste so wonderful because of one's diseased tongue, one's is cured, and gradually the sugar candy starts tasting even sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So similarly, this analogy is so nice, that similarly, when one is diseased with material life, when one hears the pastimes of Krishna, when one hears the Bhagavatam, when one hears the holy names of Krishna, when one hears the glories and character and leela of Krishna, one doesn't think it very palatable or sweet or wonderful at all. But as jaundice is cured by the tasting of that sweet thing which doesn't taste sweet, the sugar candy, similarly, our material disease, the coverings over our heart, are removed and Krishna is established within our heart by continuously tasting the wonderful pastimes, name of Krishna through our senses. And gradually, by doing that, we acquire the taste, a very wonderful taste, and it becomes sweeter, sweeter, and sweeter. And this is how one knows whether he's improving and ridding himself of his disease and increasing his Krishna consciousness, whether his taste, on one hand, for Krishna and Krishna's form and name and pastimes is increasing, and on the other hand, his taste for material life is decreasing. So, section A describes that material life is simply the jaundiced condition of the living entity. And although we have a taste for it, and although Krishna doesn't seem so sweet, and as soon as we hear the name of Krishna, we don't immediately perk up, wake up, and become spiritually enlivened, our hairs standing on end, and each of our senses individually enlivened with knowledge. We are not like that. Rather, we tend to get sleepy. The exact opposite. So, this is the disease condition. But the more one awakens his Krishna consciousness, the more just the name of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna fill him with transcendental rapture. So, Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the purport, in this first section, he explains that the jaundice, attacked by jaundice, the tongue of the diseased person cannot palatably relish sugar candy. Rather, a person with jaundice considers something sweet to taste very bitter. Similarly, avidya perverts the ability, avidya or ignorance, perverts the ability to relish the transcendentally palatable name, quality, form, and pastimes of Krishna. Now, next Prabhupada explains, this is so wonderful, that despite this disease, if one with great care and attention takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes with great care and attention. That means knowing that this is the medicine. With great care and attention, meaning trying carefully to listen, trying carefully to understand, trying to penetrate deeper, trying to wake up the intelligence, trying to control the mind, trying to apply all these different faculties of the gross and subtle body to Krishna in these different forms. If one with great care and attention takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy names and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, his ignorance will be destroyed and his tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. So this actually occurs. Such a recovery of spiritual health is possible only by the regular cultivation of Krishna consciousness. By giving up, by not applying oneself with care and attention, this will not occur. Just like if one doesn't take the medicine when he's sick, how will the disease go away? And built into this medicine is the thermometer that tests how our disease is doing. By the fever of our relish. The gopis were so full of relish for Krishna's name that and form and pastimes, or his flute, that as soon as they heard the flute, they immediately dropped everything that they were doing, immediately ran to him. It wasn't like they were thinking, oh, there is Krishna's flute, I think I should go to him in the forest right now. No, they couldn't, practically speaking, they couldn't control themselves. The attraction of the lovers of Krishna to Krishna was so intense that it didn't have anything to do with their intellect, their mind, or their senses. It was just their soul completely going to love and serve Krishna and to please Krishna. So this is the topmost position. But a devotee also, a devotee even who is advanced in this world, as soon as he hears, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how as soon as one hears the kirtan party go by with the sound of the holy name and kol and kartal, immediately one should be attracted and go and see. So this is natural for the devotee. It is unnatural to be averse to Krishna. So, and why is that? Prabhupada explains it. The normal condition is to remain an eternal servant of the Lord, Jivera Surupai, Krishnera Nityaras. The healthy condition is lost when the living entity forgets Krishna due to being attracted by the external features of Krishna's Maya energy. This world of Maya is called Durasraya, which means false or bad shelter. One who puts his faith in Durasraya becomes a candidate for hoping against hope. In the material world, everyone is trying to become happy, and although the material attempts are baffled in every way, due to their nescience, they cannot understand their mistake. And how wonderful it is, as Prabhupada explains in the next line, that people try to rectify their mistake by making another mistake. Or rather, they make the same mistake again and again. Because the basic principle is that we cannot be happy in this material world because we are eternal and the material world is temporary. We cannot be happy in this material world regardless of our external position, no more than a fish can be happy outside of water, because he is not in his environment, no matter what situation he is in. He cannot be happy. So, abrahma bhuvana loka puna avatuna vajana. That from the topmost position to the lowest position, no one can be happy. Just imagine, use your brain, and think of any situation, because we all have material desires hoarded within our heart. Imagine some situation where you actually think that is your shelter for happiness, your asrai, your shelter for happiness. Each one of us, because we are individuals, can imagine that. Some might think it's a peaceful, lonely tropical island. Others might think it's water skiing. Others might think it's out in some snowy place, or some might think that it's in a city, or some might think it's in a dog's body even. But whatever situation we are keeping within our heart as our shelter and hope for our happiness, we should examine that with the strength of our intelligence and see what the ultimate result of that situation will be. And the ultimate result, even if it is materially perfect, which is impossible, but even if it was materially perfect, we will be kicked out. And the more perfect we think it is, the more painful the kicking out is going to be, because the more perfect it is, the more attached we're going to be to it. So it's giving us great pleasure. So we finally found some juxtaposition of the material elements that bring us pleasure, but kick! The big boot must come. And we must be kicked out. And there is no saying to this big boot, could you please wait another 2 years or 6 months or even 2 minutes or 5 seconds when it's time to go? You finish. That situation is gone. And just like if you have something that you're very attached to, say it's a tape recorder or a watch or a big package of bills, of money, either rupees or dollars or rands or this or that. And then someone, imagine how painful it is that someone walks over and says, I'm taking this right now. Whatever it is, you're so attached, I'm taking it right now. No, you can't take it. And you have no power to stop. And the first thing that happens, you're trying not to lose this thing. And you have incredible pain, so you can't even think about it. So on one hand, you're thinking about all the pain, and your mind is just simply on pain. And notice if you like, you pinch your body, all your consciousness goes to that part of your body that's in pain. So on one hand, there's incredible pain in the body. On the other hand, you have this attachment that you want, and your mind is rippling back and forth. And not one thing, but many things you're attached to. So how painful this situation is. So there is this world, therefore, is considered durasai. And even, and we should also know that that materially wonderful situation we cannot find. Except, as Prabhupada said, maybe in Hawaii. Prabhupada said, you cannot enjoy anywhere in this material world, but if there is anywhere you can enjoy, it's Hawaii. So, but we should give up. We should not go to Hawaii. We should give up this struggle to be happy in this material world and just accept the fact that we should get out. This is our own personal responsibility. We can hear about it, but ultimately we should hear about it from our own intelligence and become convinced about this. As long as we think there is a chance for happiness in this world, practically speaking, we can't make advancement in Krishna consciousness any more than if we are rowing our boat with the anchor planted deeply on the shore. Do you plant anchors deeply on the shore? No. You tie the boat to a tree on the shore, and you are rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, and where will you get despite all your efforts? Nowhere. Okay. So then Prabhupada explains in section B, which is entitled Chanting Hare Krishna. What did you have, by the way, for your summary for A? I'd like to hear some of those. Have you been doing this, Chris? If you had a sheet, would you be doing it? Okay. It helps. If you've studied in advance, and hearing it goes in five times as deep. What did you get, Arjuna, for your summary?
I did reading it.
Madam Manohar?
I did the analyzing, but I didn't read the summary.
You did the point by points?
Yeah.
Rehad?
I
read
it.
Huh?
I
yeah, read it. Thank you.
I'm interrelating at the time of condition where the tongue cannot taste sugar candy, it's sweet. But considers it to taste bitter due to ignorance. And this disease can be cured if one chants the holy name and gives the pastimes of the Lord with great care and attention, and not placing much faith in the material world which is Russia.
Yeah. And this Durasraya. The kick is Maya Prasad. Maya also means mercy. Keep kicking us. So we... What's that, your beeper? You have beepers here?
We switched my technical down to the radio.
Now that in the... Yeah, yes, I do.
I have a question, but is it right to switch my that section?
Yeah, but let's just first say that the bitterness, the point about the bitterness of Krishna's name should be in there too. That it appears bitter to us because we have our miscondition, our disease, materialistic condition. Question?
Well, it's right about, it's right on that topic. And lots of times when we're preaching, especially in the West, we'll say something like, you know, chant Hare Krishna, life will be sublime. Just make it, like, let's say something like, make an experiment on yourself, just chant Hare Krishna for 2 weeks and see the change in your life. And I always kind of had trouble saying that because I always had trouble saying that with conviction. Because although sometimes I, you know, taste, you know, some relish from chanting, I've also experienced the jaundice feeling quite a bit also. So, can you comment on that?
Well, I can speak from my, I wouldn't have trouble saying that one. That I remember the direct experience of within 1 week this chanting, I understood that this was completely different from anything else that had such a profound effect on my consciousness. Now, of course, we may have had our ups and downs in our Krishna consciousness, and different times we may have felt miserable and other times more transcendentally situated, but one who was once even tasted the sweetness of Krishna's names, why can't you say that with conviction? I remember after I had been chanting quite a while and I was living in the temple, and then Jagadish Maharaj, when he wasn't Maharaj, nor was he Jagadish even, he came. I wasn't there. I had a job driving taxi cab to make money, and I was driving all night long. But it was nice because everywhere I would look, because it was back in the 60s, I would see pictures of Krishna superimposed on everything. I've been driving along. Wow, this is wonderful. But in any case, you like that one, huh, Ranamanar? That's right up your alley. So anyway, I came back and I saw Jagadish, Jeffrey, in those days. He was like walking around the, you know, the little temple room with a set of beads in his hands, and he was, you know, looking at all the pictures and chanting and chanting and chanting. He was my friend before, and he had actually come to the temple to visit that morning to talk me out of being in the temple, to get me out. So he was chanting, and I said, hey, you know, if you chant this for a week, you know, you'll find that your whole life will change. It's so sweet. And he said, a week? It's already happening after 15 minutes or something like that. And he was immediately experiencing it. So I don't think this means that saying, I don't think that means that you will be immediately situated in Nishto or Prema Bhakti, never to take a dive in material life. But that's one of many people's experience. And I haven't talked to every single devotee about it, but there's immediate reaction when one begins to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, I remember the first time I ever chanted Hare Krishna was it a being or was it a happening? I can't remember whether it was a being or a happening way back in the real early days. And I remember there were some people, there were no devotees there, but because I guess it was in 66, and there was just, we were in the park, you know, so many students were in the park one spring day, and there was a whole group chanting Hare Krishna, and I got there and I also chanted Hare Krishna, and I immediately felt so happy. But I thought I didn't realize it was the Maha Mantra at that time, but immediately the effect was there. I don't know if that I can speak from my own experience. You didn't like chanting when you started?
No, I can't remember. Actually, I think I did. No, I think
that. I remember I used to, in Buffalo, New York, it was so cold, and I used to chant to keep warm. So I remember I kept warm like that. And I remember Rupanuga wrote Prabhupada a letter and said that he chants to keep warm. Prabhupada like that. And then I remember one day I was at the university library studying, and I realized that if I could chant to keep warm, and if I just relaxed my body and chanted, even though it was so cold outside, I wouldn't actually be cold. I managed to sort of separate myself from my body. So I'm going out and just, you know, in a shirt like that, it was freezing in Buffalo. It gets so cold, like Montreal. You know, it's so cold, like minus 20 Fahrenheit, which is really cold. And so anyway, that wasn't on that day, it wasn't that cold, but I was outside and I was completely aloof from my body, chanting Hare Krishna, not cold. Then the next day, I felt great, but my body was completely sick. But in any case, any other questions or comments? Did you perceive the effect of chanting Hare Krishna when you first began to chant?
Oh yeah, and I would chant alone. I would go to a park, yeah. A lake park, to find a place really just then close, you know, and I could be peaceful. Nobody would disturb, yeah. Because I was afraid of other things.
Yeah.
And I just chant my rounds.
Yeah.
My first encounter was with holy names was very special because I never met devotees. I was in Angola. Never devotees went there until now. And I had holy names, a record of George Harris at that.
My sweet one.
No, the Govinda, he released commercially also.
Yeah.
With the Radha Vandishwara, the Disney cover.
Yeah.
And this, and I mean, I was attracted a bit by the music of the Beatles and special George Harrison with sitar.
Yeah.
And I thought it was George Harrison singing. And actually was the devotees.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about the devotees, but immediately I became attracted by the chanting of Govinda and the mantra Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Even anybody else could not understand that, but every day I had to listen to that track of
speaking.
And I became really attracted by the chanting. And when I met the devotees, it was just, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That's really the only name.
And I remember also that I had, in those days, we all us college students used to have, you know, hundreds of records. So I used to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of records. And then I spoke to Rupanuga and he said, you know, whatever you like, whatever you do, just do it in Krishna consciousness. So if you like records, just listen to, you know, the Hare Krishna records. So I said, how many do you have? He said, one. So I said, all right. So I took the record, and I used to play one. It was the Happening album. Hare Krishna. So I used to play one side, and I'd play the other side, and I'd turn it over and play the other side, and turn it over and turn it over all day long. And I was satisfied. So this, it was special.
It seems like in the beginning, Krishna really gives the sweetness and brilliance to anyone who starts to chant. Yeah. And after, when you become devotees, or try to become devotees, you know, he makes some tests to make us improve the chanting. That's why we sometimes experience that bitterness. It's not really the bitterness, it's just because we are not chanting properly.
Yes. It's, of course, it's namaparad. It's aparad. Well, you convinced?
Yes.
Now can you preach with feeling?
Yes. It's actually going to help remind me of... It's just, I guess, I just remember a few times, like, being real miserable. Being trying to tell, you know, like you were saying, you know, chant Hare Krishna.
Okay, now in the second section, it talks very much about that the Krishna consciousness movement is being spread all over the world just to remedy this jaundiced condition, the gross ignorance of the people. And Prabhupada puts it on the fault on the blind leaders of society. The politicians, philosophers, and scientists are blind because they are not Krishna conscious. They are firmly preaching that one can be happy in this material world, and therefore they are blind and they are cheaters. And Prabhupada even says worse, that they are sinful rascals and the lowest amongst men. And such people never surrender to Krishna, and they oppose the endeavor of those who wish to take Krishna's shelter. Now Prabhupada explains over here, this is at the bottom of page 68, when such atheists become leaders of society, the entire atmosphere is surcharged with nescience. In such a condition, people do not become very enthusiastic to receive this Krishna consciousness movement, Just as a diseased person suffering from jaundice does not relish the taste of sugar candy. See, this is the situation in the world today, that the whole atmosphere is polluted by materialism. It's just polluted. We don't perceive it because it's the pollution is more subtle than smog. But it's just polluted with the atmosphere of materialism. If anyone goes to New York City, when you get two, if you're driving to the city from outside, you get 2 hours from the city and you begin to feel it. The incredible, intense passion that is like emanating. And then you think, wow, this is far out, this is amazing. And then you get closer, and you, at least with me, you know, I start getting completely, you know, cranked up in the mode of passion, can't wait to get out of there and on the streets and do something like that. But it's so heavy. It's so heavy. The pollution of passion and tama, rajatama, that is contaminating materialistic society. Everything from those radios, the radio waves that are being broadcast all over that are contaminating the ether, to the people's desires. And it's like that in the passions and ignorance of the people. If you, I remember coming, going from Vrindavan, leaving Vrindavan and then getting on a plane, going to New York, arriving at Kennedy, what is it called again?
Yeah.
It's Kennedy, it's JFK now. Getting off the plane, Bhakti Rupa picking me up, driving me to the New York Temple in Brooklyn, and then I needing some soap or some socks or something like that, or a toothbrush, having just come from Vrindavan, getting out, walking into the neighborhood, Fulton Mall, right behind the temple, which is the most incredible tamagun area with all the low class black people who are, you know, so half of them are Muslims, the other half are stoned and heavy rock and roll passion music, you know, just being, and it's like, and just thinking, wow, this is hell. I mean, you don't even have, even if you placed someone there without having seen and even hearing it, just the atmosphere is hell. It's hell. This is the pollution. It's more than smog and exhaust fumes. It's just the whole materialistic atmosphere pollutes. And in that consciousness, someone says, chant Hare Krishna, and, you know, take this prasadam, then it just doesn't make any sense practically. No, I mean, this is crazy. Who wants to have anything to do with this? This is the pollution. This is the mode of ignorance where what is good seems bad and what is bad seems good. This is defined in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. What is good seems bad and what is bad seems good. The definition of the mode of ignorance. So Prabhupada then explains that what is the cure of this? For the individual, what is the cure of this? Because we've been brought up, we've been nurtured on the pollution of material life, but still we can be cured, and if we're intelligent, we are thinking we must be cured. And what is the cure? Prabhupada explains, Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, is the only remedy for setting the world aright. Although Krishna consciousness may not be very palatable for a diseased person who's been accustomed to this materialistic atmosphere, Srila Rupa Goswami is nonetheless advising that if one wants to be cured of the material disease, he must take it to it with great care and attention. One begins his treatment by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, because by chanting this holy name of the Lord, a person in the material condition will be relieved from all misconceptions, cheto, dharpana, marjanam. So one's heart, cheto, dharpana, marjanam, one's heart is cleansed by the chanting of Hare Krishna, and all this material contamination is gradually removed. Now then Prabhupada explains that there are three stages of this chanting, because we've all noticed that one's miseries, as Arjuna was pointing out, one's miseries aren't immediately completely removed, because we experience that they come and they go. You know, we may feel very, quite liberated, But the intoxication of mind is very strong, and you know, we feel completely free from misery, and then something happens and our mind gets absorbed in Maya, and we're capable of doing anything, and we're capable of being miserable. So although the chanting of Hare Krishna can do this, the complete liberation takes place when one chants Shuddha Nam, the pure holy name, which occurs when one is on the pure platform. And at that time, when one is on the prema platform, all the anartas, all the inauspiciousness is removed completely and absolutely, completely removed from the heart. When one is beginning chanting, one has so many anarthas or unwanted. Artha means what? What does artha mean? Kama artha.
Wealth.
But it means, yeah. Wealth or value, something of value. So anartha means something not of value. So these are what we carry in our hearts. And these anarthas are the result of sins from previous lives and in this life. So when one begins his bhajan, bhajana kriya, beginning with chanting Hare Krishna, accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, one by one the anarthas are removed, one by one. When we start following the rules and regulations, is anarthas removed just by that? Because they are anarthas. They're these desires for sinful things. Intoxication, sex life, meat eating, and gambling, these are the results of sins. Parabdha karma, now blossoming sins of weeds, of sinful activities. And if we try to fulfill these weedy desires, then we end up with zillions of more weedy seeds in our heart. So anartha, nivritti, after practicing bhajan, removes these. And by chanting the holy names, these are removed gradually until one can come to the clearing stage, which is abhas, nama abhas. And although Prabhupada explains here that there's offensive chanting, which is nama aparad chanting, and the aparads don't cease until the prema platform, actually. Although there is, Prabhupada explains that there's aparad chanting and shudhanam chanting, and in between there is abhas, or the in-between stage, the clearing stage, and one actually liberation occurs on the abhas stage. And the example given in the Bhagavatam is just like one doesn't have to come to the platform of prema to get liberated. The result of chanting Hare Krishna is not liberation. This was there was once an assembly in the home of Paranya and Govardhan Majumdar in what is known as now as Bangladesh. And there were many great personalities there. Bhagavan Acharya was there, and the exalted Raghunath Das Goswami was there. Before he was a Goswami. And there was also Haranya and Govardhan Majumdar. And also there was one most exalted personality, Namacharya Haridas Thakur, who very fortunate for those devotees, had just come. He was on his way to Namadweep just prior to the advent of Mahaprabhu. No, maybe Mahaprabhu was already admitted. I'm not sure. He must have been. If Raghunath Das was there, he was there. If Raghunath Das met him at that time. So, in that assembly, Bhagavan Acharya, he was commenting that one can get liberation just by chanting the holy name. And this was a very radical statement. Because according to Vanashrama, one has to spend so many births following Vanashrama as a Sudra, and then the next birth he'll take his birth as a Vaishya if he follows it perfectly, and then the next birth he'll take his birth as a Kshatriya, and then if he follows it properly, the next birth he'll take his birth as a Brahmin, and then gradually upward, and after 100 births of following, he can become Lord Brahma. like that. So after so much endeavor, if one follows the system of Vanashrama, one can get to the platform, if he's very, very fortunate, of liberation. And here, Bhagavan Acharya was saying that just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can get liberation like one can get liberation. And this is the fruit of chanting Hare Krishna. Then Haridas Thakur spoke. And he said the fruit, the actual fruit of chanting Hare Krishna is not liberation. Rather, this comes in abhas, or just the shadow before the holy name is arising in the heart. Just like he gave the example, just as the light just doesn't appear and the darkness doesn't disappear when the sun arises, actually quite a bit of time before the sun actually arises on the horizon, all the darkness is dissipated, and all therefore all one's fear of ghosts and thieves, etc., is also dissipated. So it is not necessary for the sun to rise for the light to come. So similarly, prema is actually the result of chanting Hare Krishna, love. And liberation occurs way, way before that, and that's a side product of chanting the holy names. Just something that automatically occurs. So he, through the Shastra, convinced, he was preaching like this, and suddenly one Brahmana, who was in the employ of Govardhana Naranya as a tax collector, as a collector, he stood up. His name was Gopal Chapala, I think. Gopal Chakravarti. And he said, "This is not true. You cannot get liberation. It is not cheap that just by chanting the holy names you can get liberation." Because he was a caste Brahmana, a smarter Brahmana. So he explained the whole Vanashrama system and he criticized Haridas Thakur's words. And he looked at Haridas Thakur. And he told Haridas Thakur that if one cannot get liberation by chanting the holy names, I'm going to cut off your nose. And Haridas Thakur accepted the challenge and said, if one can't get liberation by chanting the holy names, I'll cut off my own nose. And at that time, there was a great uproar in the assembly. And everyone, all the Vaishnavas, began criticizing this Gopal Chapala. And they kicked him out of the house for offending Haridas Thakur and daring to chastise him and challenge him in that way. Immediately, he was removed from his position. He had a good position with Haranya and Govardhana. He was immediately kicked out of his job and sent away and told to never enter the house again. Within 2 days, although Haridas Thakur, after Gopal was kicked out, Haridas Thakur said that please, they all begged him, they came to Haridas and said, "Haridas, please forgive us that we've heard this in our presence, we've allowed this to go on. This is disgraceful. Please forgive us for this person's speech." And Haridas said, no, there's no offense. And even he has not committed an offense. He's just like an ignorant boy. I don't consider it an offense. And Haridas left. But although Haridas forgave him for his offense, Krishna did not forgive this Gopal. And within 2 days, he was struck with leprosy. And his very high, prominent nose fell off within 2 days. So the point of telling this wonderful story is that how powerful the holy names are, that just by chanting these names, one can get liberation, although the liberation isn't even the goal. Just as if we were given $1 zillion, we would easily have achieved $100. So similarly, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is prema bhakti, and the goal and liberation is easily achieved. it occurs at the Namabha stage. Okay, so we'll stop here. Well, actually, there's quite a bit left. Two pages. Well, actually, did we finish? Yeah, we more or less finished. We finished section B. And then when one is liberated, as soon as one is liberated from the blazing fire of material existence, he can relish a taste of transcendental life. That means when one comes to the stage of nishtha, he is practically liberated. Because he's liberated means liberated from tama and raja. And therefore at nishtha, he is practically liberated. And then at nishtha, he can get a taste, which is ruchi. Okay?
Okay.
So everyone chant nicely tomorrow. And we'll finish this first tomorrow. If Krishna allows.